Hey, we're in Genesis chapter 27 today, and we started this chapter last time, and we saw that this is a continuation of the story of Esau and Jacob that really began in chapter 25, and we saw that right from the beginning, God announced there's going to be these two manner of people. They're twins in Rebekah's womb. There's going to be two manner of people. They're going to be totally different. The pattern of their lives is going to be different. And we saw how their lives, the first story this really told to them is when Esau is out in the field and he's hunting and he comes and he's hungry and he's faint and he finds Jacob with a bowl of pottage, be like a stew or something, I guess. And Jacob says, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau says, "Well, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Esau was the firstborn, that gave him a right to an inheritance and to a blessing and things that would come afterward that were really important, really precious. And Esau was the kind of man who, his name is Esau, and he goes for things that he saw that were right in front of his eyes. That's all he cared about. He didn't have any vision for the future, for precious things that were afar off. He wanted the simple things that were, you know, just right in front of his eyes. And so he sells his birthright, which is probably the most precious thing that he had. And it was just a verbal thing. He swear to his brother, "Yeah, okay. Here, the birthright's yours. Just give me that bowl of soup." And that's what he did. And that's the kind of person that he was. Now, that thing, that transaction, it seemed like it was just between Esau and Jacob. Nobody else was there, but God was there. And God saw what happened. And maybe they thought it was just between them, but God is going to work this thing out so that Esau's transaction really is effective. It's not just vain words. It's not just an empty oath. When you sell the birthright, you're selling everything that goes along with it, everything that you're entitled to, everything that is your right. You just sold that away. And part of that, a big part of that, is the blessing that comes with it. Abraham had a blessing from God. God said, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless the whole world. All nations of your earth are going to be blessed through you and through your seed." And that was passed on to Isaac. And now it's supposed to be passed on to Esau, technically. He was the firstborn. But then we get to chapter 27. And we saw that Isaac called Esau. And he said, "I'm old. I know not the day of my death. I want you to go into the field. You're a good hunter. I want you to go get some venison and prepare the type of dish that I like to eat. Bring it to me and I'll eat of it. And I'll be in a nice jolly mood and I'm going to give you this blessing that you're supposed to get because you're the firstborn." Isaac doesn't know what happened before. He's going to find out in what we read today. So we saw that Rebekah heard what Isaac said to Esau, and she came up with a little plan that actually we're going to deceive your father. I'm going to dress you up like Esau. He's blind. He can't see too well. So when you bring him this meat, which you're going to get because I'm just going to, you know, give you some goat meat and you're going to use that instead. When you bring him this meat, he can't see you. He's going to feel you. And so we left off in at verse 23. Let's start from 20. I'm going to try and get through the rest of this chapter today. So so he brings this this meat. He's trying to pretend it's venison that his dad sent him out to get. Verse 20. Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And of course, like I just said, the answer is, well, it's actually goat meat that he got from his mom, who had goats. And they were ready. She didn't have to hunt for them. That's how he got it so quickly. And but he lies and he says, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Jacob, at this point in his life, he was not a very honest fellow. But anyway, we talked about that last week. Verse 21, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Isaac's starting to have some doubts. This sounds more like my younger son than my older son, but he says that he's Esau. So come near so I can feel you. Verse 22, and Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. So even after he feels him, and he's like, okay, well, you feel like Esau, you sound like Jacob, I feel you, I'm still not sure. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. So I don't know. Isaac's getting old at this point. He certainly feels old. He thinks he's about to die. And he's probably at the point where he just doesn't trust his senses. You know, I mean, he sent his son, his one son out on this errand. He comes back. He's like, I did the thing. Okay, here's the meat. And I'm Esau. Like, is he expecting Jacob to do that? No. So when this happens, he's going, well, I don't know. I did send him on this task and he's back. He says he's back and says he went and did what I told him to do. And I mean, he feels like Esau. And the only thing is, he sounds like Jacob. I think he could have been a bit more discerning here. I think he should have listened to his voice and kind of dug a little deeper, but I don't know. In that situation, you're not expecting that somebody's going to come along and try and deceive you and steal the blessing. I mean, who does that? You know, it's kind of an odd thing. He said, I am your son Esau. Verse 25, and he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment. Remember, he's wearing Esau's clothes. He smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to me, bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Then you think, okay, well, it's a nice little, you know, nice well wishes. You know, I mean, if somebody said something like that today, our culture really doesn't understand this kind of blessing and what it means to come from a man of God. You can see Isaac was a man of God. He was a holy man. He was a righteous man who sought the Lord. He believed in God. We saw the pattern of his life. And he's a man who honored God. And you can see that in his speech. He's talking about the Lord hath blessed this field. And you smell like, you know, a field that the Lord hath blessed. And the Lord give thee. I mean, this is a prayer for God to bless him supernaturally. Okay? So you can see the kind of man that he is. And this blessing was a big deal. Let's stop right there for now and just kind of go over this blessing a little bit. So starting in verse 27, you can really see that this blessing that's given to him, it's a blessing that was very personal. It was supposed to be for Esau. This was not supposed to be Jacob's blessing. It probably would have been a little different if it was supposed to go to Jacob. But this was tailored to Esau. Isaac thought it was Esau. So he says, it says he smelled the smell of his raiment. And he says, it's the smell of my son. This is Esau's smell. It's got to be him. See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Why does he say that? Because Esau was a man of the field. He spent all his time in the field. He was a hunter. So what else does he do? Well, again, he says, therefore God give thee. He's talking about the gift of God. So I'm going to bless you. I'm going to ask God to give you this gift. He says, therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. As human beings, we live kind of between two worlds. We're carnal. We've got bodies of flesh like the animals. You know, we live on this earthly plane. But at the same time, we're also spiritual beings. God intended for us to be his children spiritually. So we're kind of like between heaven and earth. And Isaac is saying, I want you to have blessings in both realms. I want you to have the dew of heaven from above. I want you to have the fatness of the earth beneath. And God wants us to be blessed in both areas. We read about Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. It says that he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Right. He didn't intend just one or the other. Now, if you had to pick, obviously you want heaven and you want God more than you want man and the earth. But the reality is we live kind of between, and it's good to be blessed in both. He also says, and plenty of corn and wine. And if you look at what he says later on in this chapter, he's talking about sustenance. Okay, he's talking about you're getting a blessing that's gonna provide for you so that you can live. This is a blessing of life. In one of the Psalms, I think, there's a verse that says, I was young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's giving him a blessing that's supposed to provide for him. Isaac is a righteous man, and he's trying to pass on the blessing to his son so that, yeah, he's not begging bread. He wants him to prosper. You read about Abraham. You read about Isaac. Both of them prospered agriculturally. They were able to grow whatever they wanted to grow. They had great flocks and herds, and they were just very bountiful in that sense. So he's given him that blessing. Verse 29, let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. So he says, let people serve thee. You want to see how powerful this blessing is? Go to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And verse 12. Now, if you look at the context, he's talking about Israel. He's not talking about Christ. He's not talking about God. This is talking about Israel. You could see that in verse 10, for one. In verse 10, in verse 11, in verse 9. I mean, you could just tell by the context. He's talking about Israel. And what does he say in verse 12? For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. What is that? That's the blessing that he gave to Jacob. Let the people, let the nations serve thee. Look at verse 16. He says, thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles and shall suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the mighty one of Jacob. He's not the mighty one of Esau. Why? Because Esau gave that away. He gave up the birthright and he gave up the blessing that was supposed to go along with it. That's a big deal. Continuing on in Genesis 27, verse 29, he says, "Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee." Kind of reminds me of the dream that Joseph had about the sheaves bowing down to him. And they all understood what that meant. He says, "Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." So again, this is the same type of blessing that God gave to Abraham. And now Abraham, you know, blessed Isaac the same way, and God blessed Isaac the same way. And then he passed it on to his son here, Jacob, thinking that it's Esau. So that is the blessing. Let's continue on in verse 30. "So it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And first thing I want to say, you could just see how good of a hunter Esau was, that Jacob, you know, he just got, you know, goats from the flock, and his mother prepared this meat, and it's ready to go. It's very quick. Isaac saw that it was very quick. How'd you get it so fast, my son? Scarcely had he gone out, Esau comes in with the real thing, the actual venison that he got out in the field. So he must have been quite a good hunter. Verse 31, he says to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of thy son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." Okay. And you can imagine what Isaac is thinking at this point. Verse 32, "And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." What do you mean, who am I? Like, you got dementia now too? Like, you just sent me on this task to get this meat, and I come back, and I'm like, hey, I'm your son, you know, and let my father arise, eat of his son's venison, and you don't even know who I am? No, Isaac's really confused, because he thought that Esau already came and went. He's already done the blessing. Who art thou? Are you some kind of imposter? And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." That's a very interesting choice of words. You know, Jacob, in verse 19, he said the same thing. "I am Esau, thy firstborn." Both of them told a lie, and both of them told the truth. See, when Jacob said that, his lie was that he was Esau. He wasn't Esau, no, he was Jacob. But he said, "thy firstborn." That was Jacob's right to say that. He bought that birthright. That was his right to say that. He should have said, "I'm Jacob, thy firstborn." But anyway, then Esau comes in and he says, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." Well, he told the truth too. He's Esau. But you know what? He also lied. He's not the firstborn anymore. He gave up the right to say that he's the firstborn. That's what the birthright was. So he comes in like, of course you're going to bless me. I'm your firstborn. Esau, the firstborn gets the blessing. No, doesn't work that way. You sold that. In verse 33, "And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who?" Like, "where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him." See, at this point, Isaac doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know about the transaction with the birthright. All he knows is that some guy pretending to be Esau came in and he fell for it and gave him the blessing instead. And so he's trembling. He's like, oh no, what have I done? But by the end of this verse, I think he's starting to understand that the hand of God was in this. And he gets to the end of that verse and he says, "Yea, and he shall be blessed." He shall be blessed. And I think at this point is when he starts to understand, like, this is what God intended, and Jacob actually was supposed to be the one to get the blessing. I don't know if he's maybe recalling what was said to Rebecca back when she was pregnant and she inquired of the Lord. I don't know if he was ever told that. I don't know. But she may have told him that, and he might be recalling it now. Oh, yeah, you know. Just like the disciples, you know. After certain things came to pass and his disciples remembered what he said back a few chapters ago. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. But at this point, I think he's starting to understand. And then when Esau says what he says, it's really going to be clear. Verse 34. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, and this is Isaac now, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. So now Isaac understands what happened, but I think he still doesn't know about what happened with the birthright. He doesn't know why this happened. Okay, so he says, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And then verse 36, and he said, now this is Esau, is he not rightly named Jacob, which means supplanter? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? So you can see he's begging for another blessing. Verse 37, and Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? I gave Jacob the blessing. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. So he's begging for another blessing because Jacob got his. So, you also see that Isaac acknowledges and confirms the blessing to Jacob. He's not saying, oh, I messed up. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Nope, that one's null and void. I'll give you the real one now that I know who you are. No, he doesn't say that. Again, verse 33, he said, yea, and he shall be blessed. And then in verse 37, and Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? I've already given it away. I can't give you that blessing now. So Esau complains and he weeps, but what he doesn't do is repent. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and I know we looked at this verse before, but verse 16, it says, lest there be any fornicator, profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward is chapter 27, where we are right now. Afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. It almost looks like that he's seeking the repentance here, carefully with tears, but actually I think he's still seeking the blessing. That's what he keeps whining about. He keeps crying over it. Don't you have another blessing? Come on, I want the blessing. Give me the blessing. Give me the blessing. That's what he's crying about. But in all that, you know what his complaining was about? Jacob did this to me. Jacob took it away. It's all Jacob's fault. He took away my birthright. Actually, that's not what happened. Esau sold it. He said, give me the pottage. Well, I'll give it to you for the birthright. Okay, what do I need this birthright for? And he gave it to him. He swore it to him that day. So he gave it away. And then afterward, you know what? When he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Did Isaac reject him? Isaac thought he was blessing Esau. He wasn't trying to reject Esau. I think God rejected him. Because he knew that he was a profane person. And he knew that he had sold the birthright. And God rejected him. For he found no place of repentance. And that's the problem. You know, Esau traded away something precious, and all he could do was complain about it and whine about it and cry about it. But he never once said, you know what? I made a mistake. I did the wrong thing. I shouldn't have sold that birthright. He never once blamed himself. That's where the blame was. Okay, so verse 38, it says, so he's still begging for this blessing. Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And actually, Isaac does listen to him, and he does give him a blessing. Now, you read this, you might not think of it as a blessing, but it is a blessing. So let's read that. Verse 39, it says, and Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. This sounds a little bit similar to the first one, right? And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Well, that's an interesting blessing. Okay, not quite like the first one. And by the way, if you say, well, that doesn't really sound like a blessing, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Just read something this morning that was a suggestion that, oh, this wasn't really a blessing. It's not really worded right. It's kind of more of a curse than anything. No, it's a blessing according to the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, it says this, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. What Isaac gave to Esau here is a blessing. It's not the same kind of blessing.
Right.
Okay? And it was up to Esau to understand this blessing and appreciate it for what it was. So let's compare them. So he starts off, he says, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. Well, I remember that part. But what did he leave off here? He left off the field which the Lord hath blessed. He left off, therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven. See, for the other blessing that he gave to Jacob, he said, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. That was a gift. Okay? What does he say here? Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. I gave this blessing to Jacob, but I'll tell you what I'll do for you, Esau. I'll let you dwell in it. I'll let you dwell in it. It's not your blessing, but I'll let you dwell in it, and that will be your blessing. Verse 40, and by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. You get to serve your brother, who's going to be a great, great man, because he got the real blessing. But you get to serve him, and you get to dwell in his blessedness. And that's a great blessing for somebody who's a profane person who gave up the good blessing. That's a good blessing. And then he says, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Well, that doesn't sound great. It sounds kind of like you're giving up the blessing at that point. Your blessing is to serve him and dwell with him, and then you're going to break his yoke from off your neck. There's a lot in this chapter, a lot of deep spiritual stuff. So I'm going to come back to some of this a little bit later. So let's just continue on for now. So a little thing about Esau here. He says, by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. This Esau's nation that comes out of him is a very warlike people. You remember when the children of Israel were going into the promised land and they saw the sons of the Anakims, you know, and there's giants and they bring back this evil report. And they're like, there are giants over there. We can't go against them. And the Lord was with them. And they're like, oh, we can't take on these giants. And they were scared of them. They're like, we're like grasshoppers to these guys. Look real quick at Deuteronomy chapter 2. And just take a look at verses 11 and 12. Talks about the Emims, the Anakims. Verse 11, it says, which also were accounted giants. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. They were accounted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites called them Emims. Verse 12, the Horims also dwelt in Seir before time. But the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. The children of Esau, they saw these giants and were like, oh, let's go kick their butts. They just went in there and wiped them out and took over their land. And that's where they dwelt. This is a warlike people who lived by the sword. These guys were some warriors. And also, part of this blessing, he says, by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. You know, later on in a few chapters, when these brothers reconcile, you know what Esau does? He's like, I'm going to go before you, Jacob. I got this army of 400 men with me, and we're going to protect you. And you know, when we're part ways, I'm going to leave some guys with you. And Jacob refused his offer, but it seemed like Esau is trying to actually do this. And with his sword, with his army, serve his brother. Okay, but that's then and this is now. Verse 41, it says, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. I don't know if it's saying he hated Jacob because Jacob got the better blessing, or it's saying he hates Jacob because of the worse blessing that he got. I don't know. They're both probably true. But they are both a blessing, and either way, Esau hated Jacob, his brother. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, because he thinks his father's going to die. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Esau would have been waiting a long time, as we talked about. Isaac lived like another 80 years after this. But anyway, it's in his heart that he is going to kill his brother Jacob because he's so mad about what happened. And it says that he said this in his heart. Verse 42. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. How did Rebekah know that? When Esau said these words in his heart, I'll tell you why. Because Rebekah knew the Lord, and God is the one who looks on the heart. And he told Rebekah so that she could tell her son and warn him to get out of there. So that's what she does. She says, verse 43, now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. We read about him before. And tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And it just kind of, what she says here, I think it's kind of telling that Esau's manner was very well known. He was extremely short-sighted. He was a hothead. He got really upset. He got really angry, wanted to kill his brother. And Rebecca's like, eh, he'll forget about it in a few days. He's got no... He just can't see afar off. He's one to just boil over, but he doesn't have a long-term thinking. Verse 46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? And we already read that Esau had married two of the daughters of that land, and they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. So this was a real thing. This was a true thing. Okay? Rebekah loved Jacob. She knew that he was just a better man than Esau. And she didn't want him to marry the same type of girls that Esau married. So that's kind of the reasoning for sending him away. But at the same time, she's trying to protect her son's life because she knows what's going on in Esau's heart. And so they're going to send him away in the next chapter. Before we wrap this up, we got a few more minutes left. I just want to talk a little bit about what, like, some of the spiritual things in this chapter. So we talked about how Esau, his other name is Edom, which means red. Very similar to Adam, which also means red. Okay? Both of them, for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. For Esau, it was that bowl of pottage. For Adam, it was that fruit in the garden.
Yeah.
In the Gospel of Luke, it says Adam, which was the Son of God, he had the birthright. He was the firstborn. But taking that morsel of meat, he traded away. And spiritually, he wasn't God's son anymore. He was like disowned in that sense. He just was not like God. Because he short-sighted. I just, you know, just want this thing. And the just shall live by faith. And he didn't do that. On the other hand, Jacob, we see that he puts on this disguise. It says he puts on the skins of the kids of the goats. And what it says about Jesus is that he came in the likeness of sinful flesh.
Right.
That let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Just read a couple of verses there. Came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Hebrews 2, verse 15, or 14, I'm sorry. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same. Verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. It's almost like Esau or Adam sold the birthright. But then here comes Jesus, and he is putting on this disguise, if you will. And he's taken on him the flesh, the seed of Abraham, to get the blessing that goes with the birthright. He now gets the blessing because he's worthy of it. What Adam sold, Christ bought. Okay? Because he was just a different manner of man. And talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15, about the first man, Adam, but then the last Adam, which is Christ. And let's just end with this, Revelation chapter 5. In verse 12, it says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. that blessing that was supposed to go to the man who was supposed to inherit the field or inherit the world, that blessing goes to Christ. Now we, like Esau, who've traded away the birthright for something carnal and stupid, our blessing now is to serve Jacob. It's to serve Christ. He is the one, he is the Son of God who inherits all things. Our blessing is to dwell in his blessing and to serve him. And then we can be partakers also of blessing. So it's about as much as we got time for today. Just thank you all for being in Sunday school. Amen.